Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Senator Bernie Sanders, welcome back. And let me ask you this. The nuclear option, is it dangerous? In other words, at the point at which the Republicans get control of the Senate and the presidency, they'll be able to put anybody in they want. So is the nuclear option something we shouldn't have adopted in the United States? And could you just explain what it is?
Sure. Alan, let me back it up a little bit. The Senate, the United States Senate, is a very, very strange institution. It has all kinds of rules, but the bottom line is it cannot function unless there is an agreement among all parties, and by that, and almost all senators, that you're not going to abuse the rules. For example, if I walk down to the floor of the Senate, and when something is being debated, or there's an effort to proceed with something, to go forward to legislation or nomination or whatever it is, and I say, I object, that's it. If I object, it means it will be days before that issue can be dealt with. So if anyone goes down and says, I object, you have brought the Senate to a halt. When you bring the Senate to a halt, you're bringing Congress to a halt, and in fact, the whole government. One person can do that. Now, what happened for many years is it was very, very rare for somebody to do that. But what has happened is, since Obama has become president, since the right wing of the Republican Party has grown in power, what you have seen is a level of obstructionism and a number of filibusters that have been unprecedented in American history. I'll give you just a couple of examples. When Lyndon Johnson, before he was vice president, when Lyndon Johnson was the majority leader, in his 4 years, in the late 50s, he dealt with one filibuster. Harry Reid, since he has been majority leader, has had to deal with over 400 filibusters. And by filibusters, I mean not people speaking on the floor for long periods of time, but people demanding 60 votes for anything to get passed. Right now, to get anything passed in the United States Senate, you need 60 votes. In terms of nominations, what we have had something like 258 nominations in the history of this country that have been filibustered. Since Obama has been president, about half of that total took place. So one half of all of the filibusters for nominations to the judiciary or to the executive board or to the administration have taken place under Obama. That means that when we wanted to appoint Gina McCarthy, head of the EPA, it took us weeks and weeks and months and months. You want to get guys for the National Labor Relations Board, weeks and weeks, months and months. Even Chuck Hagel, a Republican, was filibustered by the Republicans for Secretary of Defense. And now what you have is you have three seats on the D.C. Court of Appeals, the second most important court. We can't get them filled. And what the Republicans have concluded is, well, they think we should shrink the size of that court by three people. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, but they wouldn't be saying that if it was their three people,
of
right?
Of course they wouldn't. Yeah. It's totally 100% political. So they keep filibustering Now, what happens is we waste an enormous amount of time on all of this stuff. Meanwhile, the middle class is disappearing. Poverty is high. Unemployment, real unemployment, is 14%. The gap between the very, very wealthy and everybody else is getting wider. We're not even addressing the planetary crisis of global warming. We spend weeks and weeks and months trying to get somebody appointed to some executive position. So what happened essentially is the Republicans broke the tradition that had gone on in the Senate for a very long point. And their obfuscation has made the Senate a dysfunctional institution. So what Reid finally said, and I think he is absolutely right, is he said, look, if you guys are not allowing this Senate to function, if you're not allowing the president to get his appointments through, as has always been the case, then you know what? We have to change the rules. And instead of requiring 60 votes, we're going to require a majority vote, 51 votes. And that's what he did, and that's the right thing. I, frankly, Alan, would go further. We are trying, for example, right now, to work on a jobs bill to create millions of jobs, rebuilding our infrastructure. We're not going to get 60 votes in the Senate to do that. We're trying to pass a minimum wage, which now nationally is 7 1/4. We want to raise it to 10.10 an hour. We want to pass legislation for gender equality so that women are not discriminated against in the workforce. None of those bills, all of those bills, will, I'm quite sure, get over 50 votes, 53, 54, 55 votes, but they won't get 60 votes, and we won't have action. And I would be in favor of lifting, changing the rules for that as well, not requiring 60. Now, you ask, well, will the Republicans do that if they gain control of the Senate? I have very little doubt that whether or not Reid made that decision and went to majority rule, that that's exactly what they would have done in any case. So I don't think what he did is going to impact what they would have done.
So they would have invoked the nuclear option themselves.
If you look at what's
going
on, they
threatened it in the past.
Yes. If you look at what's going on around states, Republican states around these countries, these are tough guys. They're not sitting around, you know, waiting. They are changing the rules of their game. They're making it harder for people to vote. They're going on very vicious attacks in some cases against women's rights. So these guys are not nice guys. They're very tough, and they will go for it. I have no doubt that if, and I certainly hope this does not happen, but if the Republicans gain control of the Senate, they would have done it anyhow.
Fascinating. Just fascinating. And the question that occurs to me is, was this sort of purposeful from the very beginning that here is this guy, Barack Obama, he gets elected president of the United States, and they say, okay, he may be president, but we'll make him president in name only. We'll just tie his hands. Is that what you think happened?
Well, I mean, it's politics, except they have carried, look, what can I say? You know, when Bush was president, Democrats worked very, very hard against him. That's always the case. And that's kind of called, you know, American democracy. But these guys have taken it to a new level. Nobody has questioned historically whether or not a president of the United States has the right to appoint a secretary of labor or administrator for the EPA or members to the D.C. Court of Appeals, for example. But what these guys have done to an entirely new level, I mean, Democrats have obstructed in the past, too, but these guys have taken it to a level that we have never seen before and reached, we have now reached the stage where if you ask me, what are we doing in the United States Senate, given all of the enormous problems facing this country? Are we creating jobs? Are we raising the minimum wage? Are we dealing with global warming? And the answer on all of these issues is no, no, no. And it's we just, you know, they have, in a sense, paralyzed the functioning of the United States Senate, and that has got to change if we're going to begin to address the very serious problems facing this country.
So there's been a spate of articles. We only have about 2 minutes, but I wanted to ask you about it, suggesting that you run for president of the United States, or you might be willing to run for president of the United States. Set us straight on that one.
Well, here's what I think. I don't wake up in the morning saying I want to be president of the United States. I really don't. I am enormously proud and happy to be one of Vermont's United States senators. And it keeps me very, very busy. But, Alan, what I worry about is that given the very, very serious problems facing this country, which I think are on a par as to where we were during the Great Depression, and if you throw in global warming, which the scientific community says is a planetary crisis, the problems today may be even more serious. And I'm talking about 14% real unemployment, 20% youth unemployment, more people living in poverty, tax on Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. The power of Wall Street, where a handful of banks has assets equivalent to 2/3 of the GDP of the United States of America. Citizens United, where billionaires now can basically put as much money as they want into the electoral process and elect their own candidates. All of that stuff is out there. And what really, really upsets me is these issues are not being discussed, and real ideas and solutions that will benefit the middle class and working families of this country are not being brought forth. And that is unacceptable.
So how would you do it as an independent?
Well, it's much too early. We've got a long, long way to go, and I don't want to get into the details. So all that I have said is that these issues, the collapse of the middle class, the growing gap between the very wealthy and everybody else, the movement of this country toward an oligarchic form of society, Those issues have got to be discussed. Now, I'm not the only person in America, believe me, who can discuss these issues. I'm not the only person in America who's fighting for working families in the middle class. But I think when the campaign comes about, somebody is going to have to stand up and raise those issues and let working families around this country know that their pain is understood, that somebody knows that there are a whole lot of folks out there who are hurting, who understands that it's just not right that a small number of people have so much while so many have so little. So, you know, that's the point, Alan. Somebody has got to do it. If nobody else does it, then I'll do it. But somebody has got to do it.
Bernie Sanders, our friend, the senator from Vermont, one of two senators from Vermont, first elected in 2006, been on this program many, many times. And Bernie, as always, we thank you. And when we come back, I want to ask you about the NSA, okay?
Thank you.